everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program on this Thursday, August the 5th, 2021. And Tom, the excessive heat warning for yesterday, I mean, we didn't get up to 109, but it still got pretty hot.
107, I believe.
Yeah, 107.
That's hot enough.
Yeah, it's plenty hot enough.
And hopefully we won't get any more excessive heat warnings. I know you were expressing that hope yesterday, I'm in line with you.
Oh, yeah. I've had plenty, almost a lifetime full of excessive heat warnings over the past year here in Tucson. We're in our 11th year on the radio and the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. They are our title sponsor, have the naming rights for our studio, and we're proud of it. Our radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Our call letters are pretty darn easy to remember. KVOI, so think of K-Voice, the voice. Here in Southern Arizona, we have our worldwide live listening on my website, which is buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. So one way or another, you'll be in tune with the live stream. The live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, and we're going to be utilizing the live line for our first three segments of the show today. And we begin with Will Humble. We are just so delighted to welcome Will to the team. He's one of 24 now, a couple of dozen regular contributors to our program. He will be and is our contributor on public health, and my goodness, he has such experience in that area. He's the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association. 30 years in public health has included two decades at the Arizona Department of Health Services, where he served in various capacities, including the agency director from 2009 to 2015. He joins us now on the live line from Prescott, Arizona. Will, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Bill. Doing great. Thanks.
It is green up in Prescott. The whole Catalina mountain range is green as I've ever seen it.
Yeah. I just drove up this morning and, the fields before you get to Prescott Valley on the side of I-17, they're all green. And, I like to take the shortcut and go out by the airport when we come up here to Prescott, and that was all green. So, yeah, they've gotten plenty of rain up here. I don't know if it was record-breaking like you guys have had down in Tucson. Phoenix has been okay. I mean, my house got, I think, 3 inches maybe in July, which is good for us.
Yeah, well, we had 10 inches at the Buckmaster household, and Tucson, July is the record breaker, the wettest month of July, and not only the wettest month of July, Will, but the wettest month ever since they've been keeping records from 1895. That surpasses the 8 inches officially at the airport, surpasses August of 1955. So this was one for the record books, and boy, did we need it.
Yeah, time to get out to Sabino Canyon.
Oh, so nice out there where the water is running. Now, Dr. Christ has decided, she was your assistant, right, at the agency?
That's correct.
And she has decided now that she will be leaving the role as director of the agency. What are you hearing about that? Just time for her to move on? Was it loggerheads with the governor? What are you hearing?
Well, I really don't know anything directly. The best article that I've seen is from Howie Fisher, who wrote, I think it was in the Star, maybe a couple of weeks ago, whenever that announcement came out. And she opened up to him a little bit and just basically said, look, I recognize that it's highly unlikely that the next governor was going to keep me. And she even said, Governor Ducey isn't going to be here to protect me much longer. And I just figured it was time to go. And this offer was too good to pass up. That's what she said in the piece. So I'll take that at face value. It sounds pretty authentic to me.
Yeah, and someone with those kinds of credentials should find a role somewhere in public health, correct?
Yeah. She went to Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Oh, that's right. That's right. She's already lined up a position. All right. The big news here in Tucson Unified, the second largest school district behind Mesa. Our district here, TUSD, decided that they are going to go their own way on the masks, even though the governor has put out a mandate, no masks in schools. So TUSD joins Phoenix Union and another large district in the Valley, Roosevelt. So you've got three that are going against, so you got to wonder about legally how all of this is going to play out. And I'd like to hear your take, Will Humble.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. So what I think is happening right now is that these school districts are going into executive session with their legal representatives, and those lawyers are telling the districts a few different things. Number one, that this law doesn't take effect until September 29th. The law that Ducey signed that prohibits school districts from requiring kids to wear masks in the classroom doesn't take effect until 90 days after end of legislative session, which this year is September 29th. Now, the legislature included a retroactivity clause in the bill, but if you think of it this way, it's retroactive, but it's not in effect yet. So
Right. Districts
that say, pound sand, governor, we're going to require masks in the classroom, are not in violation of the law now. Now, once September 29th comes, they will have retroactively been in violation of the law, but it's not illegal right now, number one. Number two, that bill has no teeth in terms of punishment. There's no sanction in the law. It's not like a superintendent that, you know, requires masks in the classroom is guilty of a class one misdemeanor or anything like that, nor is there penalties for, you know, a decision maker, financial penalties or anything. So really there's no teeth in it that way. The other thing I think the lawyers are telling the board members is that there's a very good chance, if not likely chance, that the provision itself violates the state's constitution. And that's because the state constitution requires that every bill be of a single subject. And what the legislature did when they put the prohibition mask mandates requirements into the K-12 feeder bill, the K-12 bill for that funds K-12 system, that the mask thing has nothing to do with funding the school system. Yes, it's about K-12, but it you don't need the mask piece of it to implement the funding mechanism for the K-12 system. So, and there's case law to support the fact that it's very likely that the provision itself is unconstitutional under the state constitution. So I think they're giving some comfort, the lawyers, I mean, are giving comfort to board members that, hey, you could both protect kids and feel pretty secure that, number one, you're not violating the law right now, and there's a really good chance that the courts are going to throw the law out completely in the end. So I know that was a long answer to your question, but that's in a nutshell what's about to happen.
Now, is it good policy, in your opinion, to move forward with masks for the kids?
Absolutely, and especially K-5. And the reason is because none of them are vaccinated. They don't qualify yet, and probably won't be able to get vaccinated till Thanksgiving, hopefully Halloween, but it's going to be a while. So K-5, they should all be wearing masks in the classroom. When you get to the middle school and up, it's a little more, I'm a little more tolerant if a district doesn't have a masking requirement in place, because so many of the students are vaccinated, and at least their parents had a chance and an option to vaccinate them, you know, because the vaccines are authorized, or not the vaccines, but Pfizer is authorized for 12 years and up. So all those parents from sixth grade up have a chance to vaccinate their kid. Well, the K-5 parents don't have that chance.
All right, this would be a good point to take the break. Then we're going to talk about the Delta variant. There are some reports that maybe we're near the peak in this country, and folks have been, some of the health officials, looking at India and the UK. Will Humble, stick around. You're calling us on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Will stays on the live line. We take the break. We come back with Will. That's how it's going to work today on Buckmaster in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Back with us on the Buckmaster Show is Will Humble, the former agency director of the Arizona Department of Health. Will is our Buckmaster Show contributor on public health. He's currently the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Will is calling in from where he's enjoying a couple of days up in Prescott, which was Arizona's first capital. So there you go. A lot of history up in the Prescott area. Well, if the U.S. typically follows the pattern of the United Kingdom, should we expect cases of the Delta variant to be in decline, because that is the case not only in the UK, but India as well, that the Delta-driven wave. Is that kind of becoming a new paradigm for how COVID-19 spreads through communities here in this country?
Well, the answer is yes and no, and it really depends on what state you're in. Because we're such a big country with such diverse policies by different governors, for example, making different decisions. We've also got really different vaccination rates. And so you see places up in the northeast part of the country and on the West Coast where, yes, cases are going up because of Delta, but we don't see the dramatic rise in cases. And then you've got the deep south, basically from, you know, Tennessee down to the Gulf of Mexico and from Texas over to South Carolina, including Florida, which is just going gangbusters. And I don't see that we're going to see any relief in those states anytime soon, because even though Delta is taking such a toll in those states, vaccination rates are not improving. And Arizona isn't like the deep south. We're not that bad, but we're close. Our vaccination rates are in the bottom 10. And so we're going to continue to experience an increase in hospitalizations, probably go up to 3,000 plus cases a day before too long. And it's really dependent on how good the vaccination rates are in the part of the country you're living in, combined with the policy decisions that your governor is making with respect to K-12 education and preventative measures in other locations, masking and so forth.
Now, I was looking at today's numbers. We're now down here in Pima County. We're actually doing better than Maricopa County and in the overall caseload. We were now at about, I think today was only 63. Of course, one case is too many. But yesterday, I don't know if it was an anomaly, it was 333 cases. And we've been running typically less than 150 cases a day, Will.
Yeah, cases per capita in Pima County are better than the rest of the state. And why is that, Bill?
Well, vaccinations. Vaccinations.
Yes.
Yep.
Vaccination rates in Pima County are better than, I think the only county that's doing better than Pima County is Santa Cruz. So it's because you've got terrific leadership, by the way, your county health department down there. And they have really pushed vaccine into communities of color, low-income communities and such from the very beginning. So vaccine access has been good all along, and the messaging from Pima has been good. So it's not a mistake. It's not like a fluke that Pima's doing well. It's because of the performance and because so many people in Pima County are participating in the vaccination program.
Now, the messaging from the CDC, this is all over the block. Wall Street Journal in their editorial on Saturday said, come on, let's get a simpler message out to the public. Will, people are confused.
CDC has always been ivory towerish. No matter what administration you're talking about, it's the nature of the beast over there, and that's still the case. I think there's, although I have to say the PSAs, you know, the public service announcements that I've been seeing like on the Olympics and stuff that are sponsored by the CDC are, they look to me like they've been through focus groups. They look like they're pretty good. The state PSAs are terrible. I mean, it's Director Chris standing in a parking lot. Well, now she's standing in front of in the executive tower. It's Ducey's office. That's, I can tell because I used to go up there. It's like reading a 30-second script. Now, you tell me a focus group said, that's compelling. I'm going to go get vaccinated now. I mean, look, if you're going to run PSAs on television, which is expensive, using taxpayer money, do some focus groups with them first, so that you are not wasting your money. I mean, come on.
You know, I'm looking at some of these numbers. This was kind of depressing. A Monmouth University national poll showing Three out of 10 registered Republicans say they will likely never get the vaccine. And that's like never, as in not ever. When that's bad, because it doesn't matter to these people, apparently, what the messaging is, Will Humble.
Yeah, that's right. There's a group of people that that are just simply not going to do it. And I mean, in the end, they will get immunity, but it'll be through an infection rather than a vaccination. And what that behavior like that does is just prolong this whole thing longer and make it so that it's not, we're not going to get to herd immunity with that kind of attitude, because they're going to keep getting infected. And, you know, like I said, the kids under 11 can't get vaccinated yet. And we do know there are breakthrough cases now, which means you've been vaccinated and you still get sick. That does happen. It's rare. And when it does happen, it's usually more like having a cold. But that keeps the transmission chain going, which is why the CDC came out with their guidance a couple of weeks ago, at least since the last time we talked last month, that everyone should wear a mask while indoors and in public.
I don't know. I forwarded this to you, Will. I don't know. You know, you may have been traveling, about the research from the University of Arizona, data from the UA Health Sciences longitudinal study on COVID-19 shows 67% of people with mild or moderate COVID-19 infection develop long-term COVID with symptoms that last more than 30 days after a positive test. Now, I don't know. I read this news release a couple of times. I don't know if they're talking about people that are first-time infections, or whether they are people that actually are breakthrough infections.
Yeah, I haven't seen the study, so I don't know. I do object when researchers say long term.
Yeah.
In the same sentence that they're saying 30 days. I mean, to the layman, okay, to an epidemiologist, maybe that's long term. To me, it's not. To the person out there listening to this show, 30 days isn't long term. To them, long term is like a year or something or more. So I don't consider 30 days long term. So it scares people when they include that in the press release, long term for 30 days. People hear the long term and that sticks in their head, and it makes it seem scarier than, and unnecessarily so.
Well, it goes back to what we've talked about in our monthly visits. Scary headlines are back in full force, aren't they, Will?
They have been the whole time.
The whole time.
I mean, just look at the people that get all the there's people on Twitter that get, you know, thousands of, tens of thousands of followers. And the way they get them is by being over the top and overly scary. And it's a disservice to the public, because there's false information being spread about this thing on both ends. There's, you know, everyone says, oh, well, the false information is only on the right. That's not true. There's false information on the left, too. And I don't mean the left exactly, but people mm-hmm. that purposely make it scarier than it needs to be. And it's wrong, and it irritates me, and there's nothing I can do about it except try to be a voice of reason on stuff. And I don't know. I'm just venting, I guess.
Well, please vent. You're always welcome to vent on the program, because I'm right there with you. And the latest scary headline is the variant that's going around in Peru, that apparently the vaccines don't work as well with. So who knows? And, you know, on that one.
I haven't seen that data yet.
All right. Evolutionary biologist Michael Warraby here at the University of Arizona. We've had him on the show. He was part of this this group that was looking at the origins of COVID-19. And according to Michael, the transmission from another species is the most likely scenario by a wide margin, based on recent analysis of early infections and other data that points to one particular market near the center of Wuhan, China. Have you had a chance to take a look at that?
I just saw the journal, like the newspaper article.
Right.
So, well, that's
right.
Different from like reading the actual. If he has a report, I don't know
right.
if it's a report or if that's his opinion. And to be honest, I don't know. you know, people, I don't think anyone really knows whether this came out of a lab or out of that wet market or somewhere else in Wuhan or somewhere else in the world and ended up in Wuhan. And maybe we'll never know. But one thing is for sure is that it's the potential is there for things to leak out of labs, whether intentionally or by mistakes. Now, by mistakes is far more likely. And so one of the things, and I think we talked about this last month, is the scariest part of that whole story for me is that the technology that is now available and is rapidly developing is outstripping our ability to create policies to prevent intentional and unintentional biological accidents.
All right, Will, I'm about out of time. I have gone through pretty much my entire stack of stuff for you, with the exception of the one item I want to bring up very quickly, and I've got about 90 seconds. Last August, Will, I decided to get the flu shot when the vaccine became available. I've never gotten it that early. We are into August, and I expect you're going to see flu vaccine available here at all the usual places very soon. What is your recommendation?
Oh, I would definitely get the influenza shot. I'd wait until like October, November.
Okay.
Because when you do get the vaccine, it's, you know, provides it the antibody, active antibodies for a certain number of months. And if you get it in August, then by, let's say we have a surge of influenza in February or March, you'll all be on the decline antibody wise versus if you get it in October, then yeah, you've got lasting antibodies through the end. So for me, Halloween is the benchmark.
There you go. Good advice. Will Humble, enjoy the rest of your time up in the Prescott area. We will talk to you in, see you in September, as they say. Thanks, Will.
All right. My pleasure. Bye.
All right. Will Humble with us. He's always a great guest here on the Buckmaster Show, as is Dr. David Levy, always a great guest. He's in the wings. He's next on the Buckmaster Show.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private,
and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCare2UAZ.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Have you been by Green Things lately? Really living up to the name with all the rain that we've had? Yes, it is really Green, Green Things at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They're open daily. They're in their 51st year. They've got it. If you need it for the garden, they've got it. 13-acre site, also home to Zocalo and all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Here are a couple of the websites for you. Easy to remember, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. Let's go now on the live line to Vail, Arizona, Dr. David Levy and his observatory there. Dr. Levy is the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, former science editor, Parade Magazine, now head of, and founder of Sharing the Sky Science Educational Organization. He is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, discovering 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. Dr. Levy, how are you, sir?
Oh, hello, Bill. It's good to hear you.
Thank you very much. Always a delight to hear you as well. How's that meteor shower coming?
Well, it's picking up, Bill. It's each night I'm seeing a few, but on the 12th of August, I hope to go out and see a whole lot. That is the night of the maximum, and I'm hoping that the sky will at least clear partially, so that I'll be able to see a few of those meteors on the night of the 12th.
This is the Perseid meteor shower. Is this considered the big one of the year, David Levy?
It's the second biggest one of the year, Dr. Buckmaster. And it is, it's the second biggest one of the year. The biggest one is the Geminids, but there's a law that we're not allowed to see it because it's too cold in December. but I think for something in the middle of summer, you can't beat the Perseids.
Where do they come from? What little bit of history on them?
Okay, the Perseids come from Comet Swift Tuttle.
Hmm.
And, or as a friend of mine used to say, Swift Turtle. Anyway, Horace Tuttle was one of the discoverers. We actually went to the town that he was born in New York State. And there was the train station was still there, so I was able to get a picture of it in his honor. But anyway, he discovered the comet Swift-Tuttle, and I think it was 1862.
Hmm.
And shortly after that, they started to do an orbit of the meteor shower that was taking place, and they found out that it was consistent with the orbit of the comet. And so they said that these meteors probably come from the comet that he had just discovered. How about them apples?
Hey, how about that? The quality of the shower, for want of a better word, or quantity of the shower, does it vary from year to year, David Levy?
Very, very much, Bill Buckmaster.
Hmm.
It varies. It varies from hardly any to as many as 30 or 40 an hour.
Huh.
But this year, without a moon, I'm hoping they'll be closer to the higher end of that.
And question, maybe this would be a stupid question, but why does it vary?
Well, it varies because sometimes we come into thicker areas of debris, and sometimes it's thinner. You really just don't know because the debris are spread unevenly around the orbit.
You really
don't know until you see it.
I was going to ask you, this has been the wettest month, July, wettest month in Tucson history. How did that impact your observing? Pretty much shut it down, David?
Oh, we loved it. We needed the rain so much. And every morning our lawn wakes up and says, boy, thank you for the rain. And we love it. We just love this.
But did it impair the viewing?
Not much. Hmm. In fact, the last few nights I've been doing 3 hours of comet hunting per night. So I've been really observing the last few months.
Very good.
But I don't think we're done with the rain yet.
Time for the David Levy quote of the month on the Buckmaster Show. David, what do you have for us this month?
Okay, when I was a student at Acadia, I really loved Henry David Thoreau, paying almost no attention to his best friend, Ralph Waldo Emerson. But if you have read any of Asimov's books, you might have seen this particular quote at the front of one of them. It's from his essay on nature. To go into solitude, someone needs to retire as much from his chamber as from society. I am not solitary whilst I read and write, though nobody is with me. But if someone would be alone, let him look at the stars. The rays that come from those heavenly worlds will separate between him and what he touches. One might think that the atmosphere was made transparent with this design, to give us in the heavenly bodies the perpetual nature of the presence of the sublime. Seen in the streets of cities, how great they are. And this is the key, Bill. If the stars should appear one night in 1,000 years, how would we believe and adore and preserve for many generations the remembrance of the city of God which had been shown? But every night might come about these envoys of beauty and light the universe with their admonishing smile.
Very nice. And you first came upon that quote when you were at Arcadia University in Canada.
Actually, I ignored it because I really wasn't paying any attention to Emerson. But it was when I was reading one of Asimov's science fiction books that was the opening quote. And the star should appear one night in 1,000 years. And it just turned me around the bend towards Emerson.
Well, if you start looking at the stars, it is kind of difficult to feel like you're alone because you've got lots of company when you look skyward. Correct, David?
Oh, absolutely correct, Bill. Yes.
All right, David Levy, always a pleasure. Our regards to your lovely wife, Wendy. Hope you two are doing well and stay well.
We're doing fine. And you guys stay well and keep on recovering. Get that arm in good shape.
I'm going through the physical therapy and we're moving forward. Thank you very much, David.
Great.
All right, bye-bye.
See you next month.
All right. The Buckmaster Show continues in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster contributor on the law, Don Luce, is with us in the house. We have lots to talk with him today about mandatory vaccinations, that whole issue, right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust. by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our good friends over in Silver City. It's 82 degrees over there. They're going to have a lovely day in Silver City. Mid-80s down to about 60 at night. Can't beat that climate over there because of that mile-high elevation. We send so many of our guests over there, and they come back and say the same thing. Bill, you were right. It's a great spot to get away for the weekend. It's only a three-hour drive, maybe 3.5 hours, depending on where you're leaving from in the Tucson Valley. But I strongly suggest for any questions about places to stay and things to do, the starting place is visitsouthwestnewmexico.org. So it's Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. Joining us in studio, attorney Don Luce. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Legal Contributor. He is the principal in Luce Law Group, with offices here in Tucson and Phoenix. He's also a very, very good author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona. These books are very popular, so much so that they went into their second printing, and both have wonderful information for you. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thank you.
Our country is divided on just about everything. Mandatory vaccines, a new poll came out yesterday, and again, it split down the middle. A lot of people are pointing to what's going on in New York City. They've really taken it kind of the next step, that you need vaccine proof before you can dine indoors, before you can go to a gym. Very strict for activities inside. Overall, what's your take on this hot legal topic?
What I'm saying, Bill, is that as time goes by and the vaccine is more widespread, and we've got basically 2/3 of American adults who have been vaccinated. So it's not herd immunity, but that's a heck of a lot of people who have been vaccinated. What you're seeing is employers and the federal government and others think about requiring either vaccination or proof of vaccination as a job requirement. And so I saw that recently the Biden administration announced that if you're a federal worker, you're going to be required to tell your employer, the federal government, whether you've been vaccinated or not. And if you haven't been vaccinated, then special rules might apply to you, which might include where you work, social distancing in the workplace, the required wearing of a mask, and so forth. So this is a lot different than when we were talking about this 4 or 5 months ago, and the questions were, can employers require employees to get vaccinated?
That was our initial question for you. And look how we have moved on now in 3 or 4 months.
Not only can employers require employees to get vaccinated as a general proposition, and there are some exceptions, but also they can require employees to wear masks as a condition of employment. And they can require unvaccinated employees to work remotely or in a certain portion of the workspace for the safety of the group. So we've come a long way in 4 or 5 months on this issue, and the EEOC has come out and said that's okay. The Department of Labor is okay with it. And now we're seeing that even the federal government is requiring its employees to either be vaccinated or probably be subject to special rules.
And I have determined through my interviews with city and county officials, County of Pima County and City of Tucson are both moving, and in some cases very quickly, toward a mandate for city employees. Now, the issue here, from what I understand, the state legislature has said you cannot have a vaccine mandate for state workers. So I don't know how this is all going to play out.
I don't either. And there's another controversy happening, not to do with vaccines, but to do with required mask wearing.
Yes.
So in Arizona, under state law, it is illegal for a district to require its students or staffers to wear masks. That is a state law. And yet we see that TUSD just announced that it will require all students, all employees, and all visitors to wear masks at all times on school property. So the question becomes, what's next? What happens now that a school district is essentially defying the, I guess you could say, the Ducey administration or the state legislature on this issue? And I think what's going to happen clearly is it's going to be determined by the courts. In fact, there's a lawsuit pending
in Phoenix Union
in Maricopa County, brought by a teacher who alleges that the mask mandate is illegal because it's prohibited by state law.
So that's Phoenix Union. You got Roosevelt also in the Phoenix Valley, and now TUSD are the three that are defying the governor.
Yeah, but you know who's not?
Who?
Vail, Marana, Cerro Rita, Sunnyside, Tanque Verde. They're not requiring their students or their employees to wear masks. Mm-hmm. So I guess you have to have a scorecard, Bill. You have to know whether the place of business that you're about to enter requires a mask. You have to know if where you work requires a vaccine. And you have to know if the school that you send your children to requires them to wear masks. Mm-hmm. And it varies depending on where you live, and which is really kind of, in my mind, kind of random.
What are you seeing? I know you did a little research for us. What companies, the bigger companies in Arizona, give us the list, if you would.
I will.
That require, what is their policy on vaccinations?
This is, as far as I can tell, right up to date, right up to this minute. Walmart announced that it will require its U.S. Corporation staff and regional managers to be vaccinated.
Okay.
That is a mandatory job condition.
But not for frontline employees?
No,
okay.
Not for frontline employees. The reason suggested is because Walmart's competing with Amazon to attract and keep those kind of frontline employees, and Amazon does not require vaccinations. Walmart is offering a bonus, which, by the way, is double what it originally was several months ago.
The holdouts are going to get a little more in this case anyway.
So initially, Walmart was offering a $75 bonus for any employee who got vaccinated. It's now $150.
They doubled it.
They doubled
it. Okay.
Tyson Foods, which supplies meat, nationally, mm-hmm. and has, by the way, 120,000 employees, is going to require all of its workers, whether white collar or blue collar, to be vaccinated by November 1st.
Wow.
If you're not vaccinated, you don't have a job, mm-hmm. or you can't come to mm-hmm. work. Now, who doesn't require vaccinations? Amazon does not. General Electric does not. Caterpillar does not. None of the big three automakers require vaccinations.
Mm.
So, you, like I said earlier, a scorecard would be helpful because you would then know which employers require its employees to be vaccinated and which places require masks. And with that scorecard, you could know how to address or where you could go or couldn't go.
Now, the U.S. military is moving toward active duty forces to be vaccinated.
There's no legal prohibition against that, as the mandate from the White House recently illustrated. The federal government can require vaccination or proof of vaccination, and if there is no proof of vaccination or you're not vaccinated, then you will be subject to special rules. Now, having said all of that, mm-hmm. let's not forget, however, that there are some exceptions. And this applies.
That was my next question. What is being considered an exception, legal exception?
This applies across the board. If an employee has a medical reason not to be vaccinated.
And, of course, that would have to be backed up by a physician.
Well,
I would assume.
That's a really good question because as an employer, I think you have to presume that if an employee says there is a medical reason that I cannot be vaccinated, you basically have to assume that to be true. If you press the issue,
yes.
that doesn't mean that you're doing anything illegal, but it means that you have to be very, very careful because now you're getting into the employee's medical background.
Oh, boy.
That is privileged information. And the other exception is for those who hold sincere religious beliefs that vaccinations are not permitted under their religion, and they have to be that religious belief has to be honored. So these laws under the Americans with Disabilities Act and Title VII of the Civil Rights Act apply to employers who have 15 or more workers, which are most employers. So if you have somebody in your workforce who asks for an exemption based on one of these two grounds, as an employer, you probably ought to respect that person's request, or you could run the risk of getting into some legal trouble and also violating that person's legal rights.
Quick question. Can a business put a sign out front, we require that the patrons who enter our store wear a mask?
It's a good question. It's never been tested, but I don't see why not.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to do business with somebody who's not wearing a mask, I think that's your legal right as long as you're not discriminating against that person on the basis of some protected group.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's going to be coming up, too. That issue's going to...
Well, it will. And, you know, the thing about employers and employees, that relationship, it's that... Employers don't, in this market, they don't want to lose employees.
Exactly.
Employees are so hard to find.
Right.
So it's not necessarily that an employer is going to mandate that its employees get vaccinated or show proof of vaccination so much as to provide incentives for the workforce to do that.
Yeah.
And as we saw, some of the larger employers are actually paying bonuses. There's a company called Snap-on Tools, which is a national company, and they offer time off to their employees to get the shot.
All right, Don Luce, Attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group offices in Tucson and Phoenix. His two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books in their second printing. Don, thank you very much. We've been on this subject for 3 or 4 months, and we'll probably be on it again next month. Thanks a lot, Don.
Thanks, Bill.
Have a great afternoon, everybody. Bill Buckmaster saying thanks for listening.